Good afternoon. For 35 years of my life, I served my nation as a soldier proudly and to the best of my ability. Since my retirement 2 years ago, I have written my life story and traveled across the country speaking and listening to my fellow Americans. What I saw and heard renewed my faith in our country, its people, and its promise. I also came away with a deeper understanding of the challenges we face, of the problems we must solve to reach the dreams of our founders. All of us have a role to play, and I have been giving the most prayerful consideration to the role I should play. The question I faced was, should I enter politics and seek the presidency of the United States? Many of you have encouraged me to do so. I have been deeply honored by the hundreds of letters I have received and by the hard work of grassroots organizing committees. I thank all of you for the faith and confidence you had in me. For the past few weeks, I have been consulting with friends and advisors. I have spent long hours talking with my wife and children, the most important people in my life, about the impact an entry into political life would have on us. It would require sacrifices and changes in our lives that would be difficult for us to make at this time. The welfare of my family had to be uppermost in my mind. Ultimately, however, I had to look deep into my own soul, standing aside from the expectations and enthusiasms of others. Because I believe I have a bond of trust with the American people. And to offer myself as a candidate for president requires a commitment and a passion to run the race and to succeed in the quest. The kind of passion and the kind of commitment that I felt every day of my 35 years as a soldier. A passion and commitment that, despite my every effort, I do not yet have for political life. Because such a life requires a calling that I do not yet hear. And for me to pretend otherwise would not be honest to myself, it would not be honest to the American people, and I would break that bond of trust. And therefore, I cannot go forward. I will not be a candidate for president or for any other elective office in 1996. I know that this is the right decision for me. It was not reached easily or without a great deal of personal anguish. For me and my family, saying no was even harder than saying yes. I will remain in private life and seek other ways to serve. I have a deep love for this country that has no bounds. I will find other ways to contribute to the important work needed to keep us moving forward. I know my decision will disappoint many who have supported me. I thank them once again from the bottom of my heart, and I ask for their understanding. I also know that my actions in taking the time to reach this decision has created an enormous level of expectation and anticipation. But I needed the time to give this the most careful study. I will continue to speak out forcefully in the future on the issues of the day, as I have been doing in recent weeks. I will do so as a member of the Republican Party and try to assist the party in broadening its appeal. I believe I can help the party of Lincoln move once again close to the spirit of Lincoln. I will give my talent and energy to charitable and educational activities. I will also try to find ways for me to help heal the racial divides that still exist within our society. Finally, let me say how honored I am that so many of you thought me worthy of your support. It says more about America than it says about me. In one generation, we have moved from denying a black man service at a lunch counter to elevating one to the highest military office in the nation and to being a serious contender for the presidency. This is a magnificent country. I am proud to be one of its sons. Thank you very much. Mr. Donaldson.
General, you say it's a calling you did not feel, but some people are going to say that you backed away from a fight you should have made because of the general, used to having your way, you're not used to being criticized, and in the hurly-burly, the down and dirty of American politics, you just didn't have the stomach for it.
I understand the down and dirty of American politics, and that's the way it should be. I mean, you should run this test of fire if you wish this highest office. But at this point in my life, and knowing what I know about myself, my talent, my energies, and what I'm capable of doing. This was not the right thing for me to do at this time.
The future is the future. At the moment, it's the right thing for me at this time. Yes.
General, you mentioned you're not going to be seeking any office. Have you ruled out the prospect of being on the vice presidential candidate? Have you discussed that with Senator Dole or any other candidate?
I have ruled it out. Yeah.
Decided to run, what do you think your chances would have been entering the Republican primaries and going through the primary process?
I think I would have done fairly well. In some of the positions I've taken in recent weeks, it struck some chords within the Republican Party. I think there is more moderation there than one might believe from some of the rhetoric. And I think the relatively favorable poll results I have been getting would have given me the encouragement needed to keep moving in that direction.
What about the conservative opposition that surfaced publicly last week?
Well, I expected opposition, conservative opposition, to some of the views that I took, and it has come. But I've also received some support from conservatives that essentially said the party ought to be broad enough to accept and listen to many views. The particular meeting last week that you're talking about, the views expressed concerning my views, I expected to get. We all should be concerned, however, about the nature of that meeting and the nature of the attack. When you move away from just disagreeing with somebody's views and you move into ad hominem attacks to destroy character, you're adding to the incivility that exists in our political life right now, which we ought to do something about. Yes, sir.
You say that you would enter in the future, or you will continue speaking out as a Republican. Why as a Republican? What is in that philosophy that appeals to you that doesn't appeal to you on the Democratic side?
I'm very impressed by what the Republican Party is trying to do right now, trying to put the nation on a better fiscal balance, trying to bring government under control and make government smaller, trying to put more money back into the pocket of individual taxpayers. And I believe that they have ideas and energy at this time that I can align with. There are some aspects of the agenda of the Republican Party that I disagree with, and I have said so, and I will continue to speak out. And I hope the party can broaden its appeal to appeal to the greatest number of Americans possible. But that's where I think my interests lie and my politics lie.
General
yes,
Powell,
Gene.
Did the firestorm of conservative criticism of you and your positions and your character play any role in your decision not to run?
No, I can't get excited when somebody who never served in the military jumps up and attacks me for my 35 years of service. And so that didn't bother me particularly. And frankly, I was pleased that a number of right conservatives, as they may be called, were somewhat supportive, not agreeing with me, but supportive of my entering into the debate and into the dialogue. So that rolled off my mind.
Yeah.
I've just become a member of the party. I think what I will do is wait a while, see what's out there, and I'll not be in the endorsement business for a while, or if ever. Yes, sir.
General, you spoke rather eloquently a moment ago about the importance of a black man being considered for the presidency, and I gather you believe that is important for the country as well. But if not now, and if not you, when and who?
I think it will happen at some point, and this time it is not me. But I think the important point is that the nation has arrived at a point in our national life where such a possibility exists, and that's the realization of a great dream, even though I may not be the one to fill it.
General Powell, you have said many times that you were fearful of the Republicans' contract with America as being too harsh. How do you see the Republican Party as it's now shaping up, particularly now they're cutting, they're going to change welfare, they're going to change Medicare, they're going to change Medicaid? What are your thoughts on those viewpoints?
I think welfare reform is essential, Medicare reform is essential, Medicaid reform is essential. And both Democrats and Republicans agree with that. And I think it's the Republicans right now who have the energy to make those changes. The harshness I spoke of, and which I will continue to speak of, is that we have to be absolutely sure that we have in our mind at all times that with these changes, we are fundamentally changing the social safety net that people have relied upon. And at the end of this chain, there are children who may be in need and at risk. And so while we're sending out block grants, while we're dismantling programs that have not completely satisfied everything we hoped of them, we have to concern ourselves about those who may be cut loose, and we have to be prepared to help them. And so that's the harshness. I didn't sense that there was enough consideration of that, and I'll be speaking more about that. Yes, sir.
You talked about family sacrifices. Was your personal security a factor, and could we ask your wife that that question, too?
I had no concerns about my personal security. I travel widely around the country, usually by myself, and I had no particular concerns.
I think everybody has known that I have had a concern, but I want you to know that it certainly played no part in his decision.
About the decision?
It was one that we reached together as a team, as we have for 33 years, and I am very supportive. Thank you.
This last weekend, as you came toward a decision, did that weigh in?
No. It was a deep tragedy, one that has great effect on the world at large. And it's certainly something that we ought to consider about the feeling that exists in the world against leaders and people who are trying to accomplish something in the face of peace.
It certainly must have spotlighted the danger for public figures such as your husband.
Yes, indeed it did. But simply points up that that always exists, but did not play a part in the decision.
By the time of the tragedy, which saddened my entire family because we knew the Rabins well, we pretty much had reached this point in our decision process. Yes.
Why have you ruled out the second slot on the Republican
ticket? I think having come this far and made this decision, I need to move back into private life, find other things to use my energies and talents on, and not keep the political pot boiling anymore at this time. Going back. The last several weeks have been an incredibly intense period in my life and the life of many of my close friends and my family. And over the last several days, we sat down and prayerfully considered all of it. And the final decision with my wife was on Monday evening.
General, last week there were a number of Republicans who said if you were the nominee, they would not support your candidacy. You now are describing yourself as a Republican. Will you support the nominee of your party in 1996 against President Trump?
I will wait and see the entire slate of candidates across the board, and then I will make my judgment. But I will act and work as a Republican in the months ahead, trying to broaden the appeal of the party. I will wait and see the entire slate, see what the nation looks like, and I will do, I think, as I always have, vote for the person who can do the best job for the nation.
General Paul, could you possibly be a candidate in the year 2000?
I beg your pardon?
Could you possibly be a presidential candidate in the year 2000?
I am not now starting this all over again, I can assure you. It's a great country, and I have life and energy, and I'm going to do a lot of things in the months and years ahead, but I am not getting on the political treadmill again at this point.
General,
yes?
What do you plan to do when you walk out this door today?
We're going home.
General, how do you elaborate on the role you see playing in the presidential campaign, and is there a message you have to all of those disappointed, particularly Republicans, who wanted you to run?
I would just say to everybody who encouraged me and wanted me to run, Republicans and others, and all the American citizens who contacted me and a number of the people who headed up organizing committees, that I am deeply, deeply appreciative of that support. I'm deeply, deeply appreciative of the time and talent and energy you put into it. I'm sorry I disappointed you. But I hope you will see that in the next phase of my life, I will continue to serve the country in a way that will justify the kind of
inspiration and enthusiasm and support you sent my way this time around.
What about the specific role you see playing over the next 12 months in the presidential?
For the moment, I just intend to pursue politics as a private citizen. I'm not getting into the campaigning business or endorsing business right now.
Were you speaking at the Republican convention? Mm-hmm. Are you open to that, speaking at the Republican convention?
Right now, I'm just a private citizen, and that's it.
General Powell.
Yes, Gwen.
Phase of your public life, what do you envision that being as not elected
voters? I'm going to stay in private life, and I'm going to, there are a number of charities and educational activities that I have an interest in, and I'm going to find ways to show support to them and work in that field. And I have a particular interest in children's programs and disadvantaged children's programs.
Do you see you on the campaign trail actually campaigning for some candidate, perhaps a Republican nominee?
At the moment, I do not plan to go on the campaign trail. I need a little time before I consider anything like that. Yes, sir.
The thing in politics, and you well know, you never say never. It's a long time between now and August. What if the GOP nominee doesn't look like he can beat the president or anybody else? What if there's a draft? What then?
I'm ruling out run for the presidency in 1996 or running for any elective office in 1996.
General Powell, even though you're not running, have you added a new dimension to the race,
your 1996 race? Have I added a new dimension to the race? I think I have. It was interesting that when I started speaking out in September at the end of my book tour and took some positions that people thought were somewhat heretical within the Republican Party, instead of being burned at the cross immediately, over a period of a week or two, suddenly we saw that many more people felt that way within the Republican Party and started to voice those views. So if I have served some useful purpose, I think it is that. I've opened the national dialogue a little bit, particularly within the Republican Party, and I hope that continues.
I wonder if your wife shares your enthusiasm for the Republican Party, or do you cast each other's vote?
This is my press conference, thank you.
She's there. I'd like her to tell us whether she's
next. She makes her own decisions on such matters, and we have not discussed this. This is not what each one of us should do. I hope that in the days and weeks ahead, I'll be able to persuade her that I made the right choice today. Yes, sir.
Many Americans who respect you greatly will reach the conclusion from this that you have to be out of your mind to seek the presidency.
No.
I'm wondering how much you disagree with this.
No. Let me say, first of all, this gives me the chance to say I applaud and congratulate those candidates who are out there now fighting for the right to be president of the United States. And we should be proud that such people do come forward and always have come forward. It is a needed process. You have to have that kind of fighting and debate. It's called democracy. I would say to the American people that they should start to draw the line, however, on some of the incivility that we see in our national debate and in our political debate. We have to start remembering that, as I'm very fond of saying, we are all a family. We have to work together. We've got to start finding common truths and not just believing that on the fringes are the truths. And from those common truths, move forward to solve the problems that the nation had. So don't give up on the political process. Fix it. Fix campaign finance reform. Fix how long people can stay in the Congress, either by term limits or making sure you vote them out as soon as you don't like them and you get involved in politics and vote. It's a great system. It just needs, I think, a little tidying up at the moment. Yes, sir.
What exactly did you rule out running as an independent or perhaps as the candidate of a third party like Nancy Pelosi's party?
I ruled out running. And so once I did that, there was no need to specify. It was a decision that of going into political life, not a decision of what party.
Yes, sir. You ruled out running for elective office. Have you ruled out an appointive office such as Secretary of State?
Nobody has offered me any offices, so I'm not going to rule anything in or out. But right now, I intend to remain in private life.
General,
yes, sir.
General, is there a Republican nominee that you would not support in the general election?
Yes.
How would you respond to voter concerns about the partisan system when I saw you as a fresh answer to their anxieties about politics in America?
I would say to them that
I understand that. They are looking for new ideas and fresh faces in American politics, and I certainly was one. But I also have to be honest with them and say that it was not something that I felt was the right thing for me to do at this time. Keep looking, and I would ask all Americans who have reached a level of prominence and success in their life, either politically or in business, to consider offering themselves up for higher political office. I think we need a richer farm team, so to speak. We need more people coming forward to present themselves to politics if they think that is the right thing for them to do. Yes, sir.
Did you discuss this with Newt Gingrich? There was a report that you weren't going to go unless you got a green light from him.
Mr. Gingrich and I speak frequently, and in the last week or two, we have spoken, but we didn't talk about traffic lights. We discussed everything imaginable, as one always does when you're speaking to the speaker, but we didn't talk about traffic lights.
When you thought about being president,
yes. It wasn't so much a temptation. It's that I have energy, I have talent, I have strength. Number of people suggested that I consider this. I felt it was my obligation to give it every consideration, and I did that. But at the end of the day, I couldn't go forward. As I've said in my memoirs, and I have said very often over the last several years, that I was fundamentally a soldier. In previous opportunities that came along while I was a soldier to leave the military and enter political life, I also turned down. But when I left the military, I felt that I should consider political life. For most of the last 2 years, I've been quite engrossed in finishing my book, and it was only within the last 2 months that we went into the intense period of analysis to see if this was the right thing for the family, right thing for me. I went back and forth very, very often in the last several weeks. Yes, sir.
Sir, to the question of the down and dirtiness of politics, in the last week we saw a published report about your wife receiving medication for depression. Was that beyond the pale? What does that say about...
No. My wife has depression. She's had it for many, many years. And we have told many, many people about it. It is not a family secret. It is very easily controlled with proper medication, just as my blood pressure is sometimes under control with proper medication. And you obviously don't want your whole family life out in the press. But when the story broke, we confirmed it immediately, and I hope that people who read that story, who think they might be suffering from depression, make a beeline to the doctor, because it is something that can be dealt with very easily.
Was that a fair thing for your opponents to bring up, though?
I don't know that my opponents brought it up or anybody brought it up. It was widely known within my circle of friends, and frankly, many in the media knew it and just hadn't bothered to report it before. And finally, one paper broke the story, broke it in a very straightforward manner that was not the least bit troubling. And then one of the news magazines last week wrote a much longer article on it that was done very, very well. And we found no offense in what was written about it.
When you thought about being president, what was it when you attempted to seek that office? What was it you most wanted to do with that office? The one thing that you said, boy, if I were president, I could do that.
Show leadership. Be a conciliator, move the country forward toward lower government, less government, put us in a more fiscally responsible platform basis, and try to inspire people and try to restore a sense of family, restore a sense of shame in our society, help bring more civility into our society. And I hope to do that in other ways.
You wanted the Republican Party to broaden its tent, and I assume you're talking in a Lincoln way about minorities.
Yes.
Tell us about why you think the Republican Party does not appeal to more blacks.
Well, they don't. I mean, because a very large percentage of blacks don't believe the Republican Party appeals to them, and they vote consistently Democratic. And I think it would be in the interest of minorities, and especially for African Americans, to have other choices. And I think it would be an important thing for the Republican Party to broaden its appeal. And a number of leaders of the Republican Party have said the same thing, so that African Americans have two sets of issues to look at, two sets of power bases to look at.
and not just believe that the only choice for them is the Democratic Party.
Is there any obvious reason that blacks have sided with the Democrats and not the Republicans? I mean, is it something
there are deep historical reasons. They have seen the Democratic Party as more in line with their needs over the years, and the Republican Party has not succeeded in breaking that hold. And I think it is in the interest of the country and in the interest of African Americans to have that hold shaken loose so that African Americans have a greater choice and can pick from more than one option to satisfy their political needs and to make sure their needs are taken care of. Let me take one more, please. Yeah.
Ruling out the vice presidency today, why are you also becoming a Republican today?
Because I feel it is time for me to participate in some way in the political process. For all of my career, I was nonpartisan. Never expressed a political view or an affiliation with a party. I thought the time had come for me to get off that fence anyway and begin to work within one of the party systems, one of the major party systems. Today? No, I haven't done whatever paperwork is required yet, but I can assure you I will. One more, and then I think it'll end it. Yes, sir.
Mrs. Powell, if I could add, aside from security considerations, did you rule out in your own mind or reject the role of First Lady of the United States? And what were your thoughts about becoming First Lady, about the role for yourself?
Well, it certainly is a flattering thing to think of, that people would think that you were capable of doing such a thing. However, it is not something that is in my sight at this time. I'm happy with my activities as they are and plan to continue them.
Thank you all very, very much.